26 Youth Conference. Hey, all right, the mic works. All right. Good. Well, we're thankful we can be here. I know some had a little trouble and challenges on arriving, and some are, what I understand, still on the way. But we're thankful that we're here. And first of all, my name is Matt Graham. My wife and I, Stella, we're from Richmond, Virginia. And very proud of that. We've got a great group from Richmond here. There's a great group from Houston, Mangat, New York, Vancouver, Toronto, Scottsdale, Seattle.
Not Jersey.
It's like Washington, Baltimore, everywhere. So I left out a few, but that's all right. But I did have a question. How many are here for the first time? Raise your hand. All right. Now, each one of y'all take a deep breath. Let it out. You can relax. Because I can assure you, as you're here for the first time, you're probably a little bit nervous of making a fool of yourself, dropping your food in the middle of the cafeteria, tripping down the aisle, sneezing or doing something. But I can assure you that there's nothing that you can do this week that somebody else sitting in this room didn't do their first time here. Everybody has been here a first time, and everybody's made pretty much every mistake and made a fool of themselves in more ways than we can count. So just relax. You know, it'll flow okay. And we're thankful we can be together. And as we've seen on your shirts and your handbook and everything, we got a theme this year of Holy Brethren, Consider Jesus. So let's have another word of prayer, and then we'll consider this. Lord, we do rejoice to be together in your presence. Lord, just your great faithfulness in getting us here. Lord, we would never take that for granted. The great faithfulness of being able to gather so freely in your name, we would never take that for granted. The great assurance of your presence with us, we would never take that for granted. And the great hope we have in you for this week, we would never take that for granted. Because the hope we have in this week is that the origin of this conference was within your heart. This is not from the group in Toronto. This originated in your heart. You have a great plan. You have a great purpose. You have a greater revelation of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to show each one of us in very special ways. So we come to you tonight. We open our hearts to you, Lord, that you would be able to work in a very marvelous, wonderful way. In thy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, we're thankful as we come this year. We have this theme of the Holy Brethren, Consider Jesus. And it's really came about as a continuation of last year's theme, how the servant, the steward, would be faithful. And in that, there's still that heart desire that we would be those servants, faithful unto him, walking daily. And I think that becomes more and more of a challenge, and we see the things we face as we live in so many of the days we're living in. So many of them are just so, there's an uncertainty about it. You know, the forest fires here in Ontario, you know, the wars that are going on, the fires out west, everything, the mass shootings here and there, there's a rattling, there's a shaking that's going on. And that's why in the days of the shaking, which actually the letter to the Hebrews was written, that you all read three times, I'm absolutely certain of that. Because y'all are so faithful, you're faithful servants. They said, read it three times. I know every one of you did. But grace abounds, you have until tomorrow morning to finish that third time. Okay. But we see, that's why there's this thought of holy brethren. That's us. He set us apart. And he wants us to come and consider Jesus. As we have these theme verses out of Hebrews 3, it's interesting. And if you look at Hebrews 3:1, that first word there, it's really a key word. It says, therefore. And what's that say? Most of us know that means look back at what just happened. And if you go, as you've read and gone through Hebrews 1 and 2, what have you seen? You've seen Jesus. The Lord's pouring out who Jesus is in the full descriptive way. all that he's done and all that he's continuing to do as that great high priest. He's so for us every day. What a foundation we have. What an encouragement we have. And it's because of that, because of what he's done, he's the one that calls us holy brethren. We're not boasting in ourselves. It's what he's done in us. He's made us holy unto him and partakers of a heavenly calling. And in that, he wants us to consider Jesus. Consider, not just in Hebrews 12, it says looking off. Sometimes looking off doesn't really carry that impact, but it's considering him, that apostle and high priest of our confession. Praise God for that. And that's why we're here this week, to look off unto Jesus, to consider Jesus, and to really allow him to reveal more and more of himself to us in these days. The second verse that is our theme verse is out of Hebrews 12 and starts off, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I don't know if you realize it, you young people in particular, but you're actually here experiencing being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Have you seen it? Have you seen that great cloud of witnesses? All you have to do is turn around, look at the back row, all the gray-haired people. You know, that's the cloud back there, that cloud of witnesses that's symbolized by gray hair, which I can speak of very fondly of. But anyway, we're surrounded. So many have gone before us, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, that ensnaring sin of unbelief. And let us run with endurance this race that's set before us, running along, looking unto Jesus, really with an intent, considering him, because he's the author, he's the beginning of everything, and the finisher of our faith, all the faith that he's given and planted within us. Because that joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise God. That's that little phrase, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, means his work was finished. He did everything that the Lord, his Father, sent him to do as he was upon earth. But he's still working, still building his church. He's still conforming us to his image in a great and wonderful way. And these thoughts, like these verses, led us to that theme of holy brethren, consider Jesus. Now, I'm not going to share on that tonight. You got three brothers this week, and they'll be handling that. And so I'm not going to steal any of their material, or I'll get in trouble with that. They will take care of it for the rest of the week. But one of the things that's upon my heart tonight is that there's something really important for each of us to consider. It's absolutely really essential for us as we prepare to start this week. And if it's not activated within us, no matter how great a theme we have, no matter how wonderful the speakers are, they won't have a full impact upon our lives. But I want to use tonight to really prepare us for this week, to allow the Lord to be preparing our hearts in a very wonderful way. That's really, if you look at the theme for the conference last year and the write-up about it this year, it really deals with the heart of a servant, that key characteristic of a servant. And what is the main thing that a servant has to have? And that's what I want us to look at this evening. As we come, we want this to be activated in a very fresh and real way. And a servant, the key thing that a servant has to have is a hearing heart. You know, now the heart is a marvelous organ that we have, our spiritual heart. It not only has ears, but it has eyes too. I couldn't find one that had both eyes and ears, so I had to stick to the ears because I was speaking about hearing. But it's not so much about the physical hearing, but what we're looking at and what we want to ask is the spiritual ears of our heart really be open to hear what he's saying to us. Now, when we talk about hearing God, sometimes that can sound very intimidating, like all of a sudden we're going to have this voice come down, speak to us. A lot of times it's just an impression we have. You read his word, something in the word comes alive. You go through a circumstance, you look back, you see, that was God, what he taught me through that. As one speak, you say, wow, that's really hitting me. So God speaks to us in a variety of ways. He'll speak to us this week and during the messages. He'll speak to us during fellowship times, during meal times, workshops, recreation time, your times in your apartments. Oh, God is speaking throughout this whole week. Sometimes we can limit it and just think, okay, God only speaks during the message times. That's true. Hopefully he does. But he was on call speaking 24/7 to each and every one of our hearts. And he wants us to have that heart that really hears him. And as we come and we think of this matter of a servant, I was drawn back in the Old Testament to the one that was called the bondservant. And I particularly love the bondservant because in many ways he was a love slave unto the Lord. Now you can't, today it's hard to use the phrase love slave because the world has so polluted that and distorted it, it can be taken out of context. But it's where you're in love with someone and you just fully surrender to them. And what that bondservant was in the Old Testament was a servant or a slave had been serving their master, and once they fulfilled their obligation, they were set free. They were set free to go on and live their life the way they wanted to. Not only set free, but the master, he provided for them. He gave them a couple new sets of clothes. He gave them a credit card. He gave them a debit card, whatever they needed. He just gave them all of this, the full provision that they could go out and use however they wanted to. And he put his blessing upon them. But there were those who loved their master so much that they said, wow, my master has treated me so good. I'm going to stay here and serve him all of my life. And really, that's what Jesus does for us when he saves us. He blesses us and provides for us so abundantly. He's looking for that heart that responds and say, yes, he loves me so much. I want to live for him, serve him. And the first things that happen is they take him to the post of the doorpost of the house, and they pierce his ear, but it's pierced for love. Most people, when they got a pierced ear, didn't go through this. You didn't have that awl stuck through your ear. But it's actually the most important thing that any of us can have as we're trying to serve the Lord and hear from him. And it's not just hearing him, but it's understanding him also and obeying him, attentively listening to that master, that slave. He's looking at the master. He's seeing what the master wants and even starts to anticipate as the master makes this move. Ah, this is what he wants. And that's really what I want to share tonight, is about having a prepared heart for this week, a hearing heart open to the Lord for this week. Because as you think about the two theme verses that we mentioned, Hebrews 12, looking away from other things, we don't want to be distracted, but really waiting on Jesus, our Lord and Master, to speak. We would be so attuned to him, our hearts would have this desire to hear from him, that the many things that would distract us in life, thankfully, we won't have our electronic devices this week to distract us, but we'll have this opportunity to be set apart unto him and to really hear from him. And also in 3:1, as we consider him, we will consider, do we really understand what he's saying to us? Do we hear him clearly? Is there this understanding heart of what he has? And as I was thinking of this whole thought of the really speaking to us and hearing from us, I was actually drawn to a young man in the scripture who, first, he didn't recognize God's voice when he spoke to him. He spoke to him the first two times and he didn't know who was speaking. Who am I talking about? Samuel, there you go. You're allowed to speak. Okay. Samuel, there we go. Well, who was this Samuel? You know, that's in 1 Samuel 3, where most of you are pretty familiar with the story. He's asleep, and here's this voice, Samuel, Samuel. And then two times he goes to Eli. Eli says, it's not me. The third time, Eli finally recognizes it's God. He says, okay, next time you go back, and God will, you say, speak, Lord, thy servant's hearing. Now, there's actually somebody, there's a song about Samuel. And somebody in this room has made it very famous. And he would, you know, but I love him so much, I'm not going to ask him to sing it tonight. Because if he sang it tonight, his voice would be wrecked for the rest of the week. And we wouldn't be able to speak. So in mercy, we will pass on that. But you need to hear about Samuel's song sometime. All right. And so, the Lord spoke in 1 Samuel 3, verse 9 and 10. And I think many of you have heard this story and you're familiar. And Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening." And that's that little phrase I'd like for it to really ring within our heart throughout this week. Because this phrase, "Speak, Lord, thy servant is listening," totally revolutionized Samuel's life. Samuel had been serving the Lord. He'd been ministering to the Lord. He'd been serving in the house of God. He'd been opening the doors. He'd been doing other things. And then there came this experience with the Lord. And the eyes of his hearts were opened. And he came to know the Lord. He came to know the Word of God in a way that he'd never known before. There was a fullness to it. He was a different person after this encounter with God. And we have to ask ourselves, have our lives been revolutionized by the hearing of the Word of God, by meeting the Lord in a very special way? There's an opportunity this week for that, for our lives to be totally revolutionized. You know, Samuel, he was just going along in life, doing what he normally did every day, very faithfully. And God interrupted his life, and God totally changed it. And what a prophet he ended up being. Was a vessel used to usher in the kingdom, that first king. The Lord is looking for ones in this hour that will usher in the return of the king at his second coming. Are we going to be those Samuels of this hour to prepare the way for the Lord to be able to come and receive all that are his unto himself? What a life that he was changed into. I think most of us can relate to Samuel because at times we've had experiences where God was trying to speak to us and we didn't really hear it. We didn't know it was God. But thank the Lord in his patience and his long suffering with us, he continued and he spoke to us in a very wonderful way. And so we start to see, as you think of the Samuel and hearing and all of this, we can hear with our physical ears. There's a great contrast between our physical ears and our spiritual ears. And that's why we're praying this. Speak, Lord, for your servant. It's the servant here. Note that. He's listening. You know, one of the challenges that we have when we come to a time, a week like this, is that many here are very intelligent. They've got some great intelligence. They love to figure things out. We know the Bible stories. You know the histories. I mentioned Samuel, and half of you could stand up and tell the whole story. I didn't even need to say anything. But how we need to humble ourselves before the Lord, each and every one of us, that we could really comprehend what he wants to say. He came up with this theme, "Holy brethren, consider Jesus." Now, that can sound kind of abstract on Monday night. Hopefully by Friday morning, there's a reality to it. It's not just a concept, not just a conference theme, but there's something real that's been worked in us. Wow! I'm a holy brethren. There's a great calling. I've been partakers of a heavenly calling. Wow. And I just love to consider you. Every day I see him more and more of him and all that he's after, all he's wanting to do. Praise God. We can't comprehend him in ourselves. No matter how intelligent we are, we can't comprehend it. But we don't need to stop at the fact that we can't comprehend, because he's made every provision for us. Remember what our Lord told his disciples when he was getting ready to leave them. They were terrified that this one who they loved was leaving them. What are we going to do? He said, "Don't worry. I'm sending the Helper, the Holy Spirit. The Father is going to send him in my name, and he will teach you in all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Those things that Jesus had shared with them, they had forgotten. They're like us. We hear things, we forget. But then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brought it back to memory. Oh yeah, I remember he said that. Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. I love how at times Dana has referred to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Interpreter. He takes these spiritual words, interprets them in a way, and implants them within our hearts that we can have understanding. We can comprehend what's being said. As we look at Samuel's life, we're thankful. He listened to the Lord. He had a desire for the Lord to speak. And the Lord came in and spoke to him, and it revolutionized his life. What Samuel was going through at that time from an academic thing was effective communication, okay? And really, that's what our desire is this week. We would have effective communication. Effective communication, there's two parties. When both the speaker and the hearer understand the message as intended. You know, now there's no problem this week on God's side, okay? The challenge is within our own side. But thankful we can come as a Samuel in that spirit, desiring the Lord to speak, desiring to really listen and to hear from Him. So as we look at this phrase from Samuel about speaking and hearing, let's look at the first aspect. That's why I wanted to have that song, Speak, O Lord. Now, we don't have time. You could actually share a whole message or a couple messages on this song. It's so beautiful. I love it. But let's just look at it as a teaching tool. It's a beautiful, powerful prayer. And in it, we consider all that He will do for us, all His Word will do in us. Oh, that's a powerful thing. Speak, O Lord, as we come to You to receive the food of Your holy Word. There's a food. There's a precious food. There's a depth there that He wants us to feed upon. Take Your truth, Lord. Take Your truth. Is this the prayer of our heart? Take Your truth. Plant it deep in us, that implanted Word of God that James speaks of. You know, He plants the Word in us. And that's what we want this week. And Lord, shape and fashion us in Your likeness. Now, why would He want to shape and fashion us in His likeness? So that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and deeds of faith. Now, the acts of love and deeds of faith are not post-conference. We can actually be doing those every day that we're here. As the Lord speaks to us, as we hear things, we can be doing acts of faith, acts of love to one another, caring for one another, encouraging one another. Oh, speak, O Lord. Lord, fulfill in us all Your purpose for Your glory. God has a purpose for this week. And we don't want to be just content with a little bit. We want all that He has to come forth, be really work within us this week. Next verse, He says, teach us, O Lord, full obedience. You know, it's tragic in this fallen world that we have to use adjectives. It would be wonderful if He could just say, teach us, O Lord, obedience. But sadly, there's partial obedience. And we think that partial obedience is great. Partial obedience is not full obedience. We want to be fully surrendered to Him with a holy reverence and a true humility. That's His life. And are we willing? This is a challenge for us. Are we willing to pray to God, Lord, test our thoughts. Lord, test my thoughts, those secret thoughts that only I have, those horrible things at times. Test our thoughts and our attitudes. As you look at this person, you look at that person, what are your thoughts? What are our attitudes? Are we willing for Him to test us in this week? This is one of the things about being at this conference, kind of set apart. In modern day terms, for everybody, this is a safe space. And I think you know what I mean by that. That's a safe space where we can give ourselves to Him and say, Lord, test my heart. Lord, I want You to work in me for the radiance of Your purity, Your glory. And He does, as He does this, He will cause our faith to rise. All of a sudden, that faith within us will start to rise because our eyes are seeing, not from ourselves of what we've done, but because of His majesty, His majestic love and authority, the words of power that can never fail. Let their truth prevail over unbelief. Great challenge in this day of unbelief, that sin that so easily besets us. Oh, but faith has overcome that. Praise God. He concludes in that third verse. Again, speak, O Lord, renew our minds. Our minds are so full of all the stuff of the world. And help us grasp the heights of Your plans for us. Wow, that's a conference theme just on that line. Do we realize the heights, the immeasurable limits that God has planned for each and every one of us as we go on together. It's one of these things that's beyond even understanding, but there's the heights because He loves us so much. He's jealous for the life of His Son to be in us. And the very foundation of that is because there's truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo through all eternity. Praise God. And as we grasp these truths, by His grace, we'll stand on His promises. Thank the Lord for all His precious and magnificent promises. And by faith, we'll walk as You walk with us, Lord. Speak, O Lord, till Your church is built and the earth is filled with Your glory. This is what Samuel was praying for when he prayed for the Lord to speak. And this is all that the Lord spoke to Samuel. And in the same way, the Lord wants to speak this week in an even greater and fuller way to each and every one of us. Now, we said the second aspect that Samuel was prayed about was not only speaking, but listening, being able to listen to what the Lord was saying. We see that, and speak, for thy servant is listening. Now, the word for listening here is a tremendous word in Hebrew. It's a Hebrew word for listening called Shema. Now, tonight you get a Hebrew lesson. I know everybody has that on their bucket list, so you can check it off. You're going to get a little Hebrew lesson tonight. All right? If it's not on your bucket list, you can add it real quick and check it off, and everybody will be so proud of you. Okay, but Shema simply means having a hearing heart. See, there's another heart with an ear in it. So, but it's a powerful, multifaceted word, this word Shema. And it obviously it speaks of physical hearing, but it's so much more. It's a multifaceted meaning. It means both understanding what the person is saying, but it doesn't stop there. It's understanding and obeying what the person is saying. You understand and you obey. Okay, first, let's look at the understanding side. That hearing ear, a heart that understands and obeys. Many of us know the story of King Solomon when he became king. He was a young man, and he looked around. He had this prayer, and he prayed this prayer. So give your servant an understanding heart. That word understanding there is Shema. That's what we're talking about. He's praying for a hearing heart that understands what's on God. Because he realized that he was so young, he didn't know how to manage this kingdom. He didn't know, it says, how to go in and out among the people. He saw it was such a great work beyond himself. And I think we all feel like that at times. It's so beyond us. But Lord, it's not beyond You. And notice how Samuel was praying. He said and say, so give your king an understanding heart. Now, it's your servant. He wasn't asking for riches, glory, power, doing away with all of his enemies, any all his wish lists. No. He said, of all the things that he could ask, give that understanding heart. And we know how the Lord was pleased with that. So I'm just not so much getting into Solomon's life, but just to see how when we're praying about having a hearing heart, an open heart, prepared heart to hear, it's an understanding heart that's open to Him, to what He has. And then not only just an understanding heart, but then secondly, it's that obeying heart. That obeying heart. Now, Genesis 22, God calls Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Tremendous test upon Abraham. But he immediately gets up, and they head toward that mountain. They get to that mountain. Abraham and Isaac, they go up the mountain. Isaac's carrying all the wood. He looks around and says, where's the ram? Abraham says, God will provide the ram. Don't worry. He lays Isaac on the altar. He raises that knife to get ready to kill him. And God intervenes. And all of a sudden, there's that ram. Again, a familiar story that you know about. And what did God say to Abraham after that? To show that he had an obeying heart, that Shema, it said in Genesis 22:18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice, because you have Shema, my voice. Again, this word Shema that we're looking at, that prepared heart, that hearing heart, it's understanding and it's obeying, the two aspects of it. We love to have the understanding side. Everybody wants to understand what's going on, but are we willing? I think our bigger challenge can be at times, are we willing to obey what he's saying? And again, it's that obedience comes by the grace of God. He's not looking to us to do this. He's looking for us to allow his life to be worked out in us in a way that testifies unto him. Now, in this particular slide, you see the cross is there. Now, why would the cross be there? How does the cross relate to this particular verse? Who's this cross speak of? Who does the seed speak of? Whenever you're in Sunday school and you need an answer, who do you say? Jesus. Okay, there we go. He's the seed. You notice there's not a lot of seeds there. Jesus is the seed. That's a very prophetic thing that God was doing here. But because Abraham obeyed God, because he had an understanding heart of what God was doing, he knew, it says later on, how Abraham knew that even if he killed Isaac, God was able to raise him from the dead. How did Abraham know that? Because he knew God. He had an understanding heart of what God's heart was. And he came into that, and he was willing to go all the way of suffering, giving up his dearly beloved one. So how are we going to listen this week? Are we going to be a passive listening, just listening with the ear, listening to hear? Or are we going to be active listening, that active listening to understand? What type of listener are we? And because we need to have our ears trained and tuned in this day and time, those hearts, because God has so patiently cried out throughout all the ages to his people, drawing us unto himself. And it's the same cry for us today. He's crying out for ones to have that hearing heart. Praise God. You look back through church history. Martin Luther had a hearing heart. He saw the just shall live by faith. We see John Wesley. We can go on and on throughout history. Many dear brothers and sisters, they understood God and they obeyed him. And they laid their lives down. They went. And because of that, that's that great cloud of witnesses whose shoulders we're actually standing on today. Praise God. Ones have paid a price that we can so freely gather and hear God's word this whole week without that hindrance from other interference. Praise God for that. Because we know there are many voices today. Voices saying every which way. God says this. God doesn't say that. God says do this. God says doesn't do that. God says if you want to be a better Christian, do this. God says no, you need to deny yourself. You need to do this and not do that. On and on. There's so much confusion going around. But do we know his voice? You know, sadly, many of the voices that we hear are coming out of, they come from intellectualism. It's our own minds, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that rationalization that goes about, and it's even used in the term called deconstruction during this time. And much of that all comes out of the sin of unbelief. It's we're trying to figure out something in our own minds. And once we figure out something in our own minds, we'll say yes to God. But I don't care, whatever subject you take up related to the Lord, as you try to figure it out in your own mind, all those truths, you might think you're figuring it out step by step. Say, wow, I'm starting to figure this out. But there will come a point that the only way you can proceed is by faith. Faith in him. And actually, that's why it's a lot easier to start walking in faith. He tells us many will come in his name. They'll be saying, Christ is here, Christ is there. Don't listen to the false prophets. Oh, how they take the word of God, twist it around. But Lord, we're thankful how in the days, as we see in the book of Hebrews, it's still called today. I know many of you, as you've read Hebrews in chapter 3 and 4, still called today. And today is a time for training. You know, how do we hear God's small voice in this? You can tell this particular cartoon is dated. You know, there's a telephone there, okay? There's a phone right there. Oh, look at that. Who has those anymore? You know, but that's an old from here. But in Hebrews 3 and 4, the Lord has said there, thank the Lord, it's still called today. Still today to hear her voice. And what does he always follow with that? He says, it's still today, opportunity for you to hear my voice. And how does he follow? Three times it says it in Hebrews 3 and 4. Don't harden your hearts. Gets back to the heart issue. Don't harden your hearts. Doesn't say anything about your mind. Says your heart. Your hearing ear. Don't harden that. You know, as we gather this week, you know, we're thankful for all that the ones here in Toronto have done for us, all the preparation. Thankful for all that the university lets us accommodates for us here. We're thankful for the speakers, the workshop leaders, everybody that's prepared for this particular week. But the real key for us to really be able to redeem this time and getting the most out of it is to be trained, to really have a heart, that Shema, that hearing heart, coming to Him with an open heart. Our brothers can pour out this word in a fullness, and we're so thankful for that, and we support them in prayer. But we need to have those receptive hearts. You know, it's very interesting when you're sharing, and they're ones that have that hearing heart, you actually are participating with the brother sharing because you're drawing out the word from him. He's not just up here saying what he had prepared, but they're actually, when there's that effective communication of you have that desire to receive and they've been before the Lord to share, there's a two-way street going. You're drawing it out. They're pouring it forth. They pour out forth. They say things that they never thought they were going to be saying. But praise God. It's because there's a hunger. There's a desire. There's that they want to see the Lord considering Him in a wonderful way. May that really be a prayer of our hearts throughout this week. Speak, Lord, Thy servants listening. As we wake up in the morning, begin each day, Lord, speak, O Lord, Your servants listening. As we go to bed at night, as we go back to our rooms and we have our times of fellowship, may we reflect on what was said and give that Holy Spirit the opportunity to give us even a greater understanding of being a servant of the living God. A servant of the living God. Praise God for that. That's the highest calling you can have. It's tremendous. How He has called each and every one of us to be servants of the living God. That servants of the living God take many forms. Some are apostles, some are evangelists, some are this, some are servants, some are, you see in Corinthians, there's some of the servants of the living God, they offer helps. There's musics. There's many, many ways. The serving of the living God is not limited at all, but He has a special way for each and every one of us as He's calling us into it. And this is why, as we're considering this whole matter of holy brethren and considering Jesus, it's because He is desiring to do a great work in us. As we really do see Him as the Alpha, depending on your translation, it can be author, start, Alpha of our faith. He's not only starting it, but He's completing it. He's the finisher. He's the Omega of everything because He's doing such a great work in us. And just as we sang, may He have that freedom in each one of our hearts, in each one of our lives, that we would be those. By grace this week, we would stand on all of His promises. By faith, we'll walk through this week as He walks with us. Oh, Lord, speak till Your church is built. We're involved in a great work, this great work of what He's doing, of building His church. This desire within us, Lord, till the earth is filled with Your glory. That seems like an impossible thing for the earth to be filled with His glory, given these current conditions. But it's a fact. The earth will be filled with His glory in that future time. So we're thankful as we gather this week, we can come to Him. We can offer our hearts to Him and really take this time. It's a very precious opportunity that we, each and every one of us, have. And we're thankful. I mean, when I was your age, I had nothing like this at all to even consider. I'm thankful that you do. And may each and every one of us make the most of it. Pray for one another. Pray for our speakers, workshop leaders, and allow the Lord to give each one of us a hearing heart. And where we have some obstacles, where we're a little hard of hearing, He already knows it. We might find out about it, but He knows it. He still loves us, and He wants to work in us to set us free, that we can hear Him in a fuller way. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this precious time. Lord, as we said, You're the one that originated it. You're the one that has brought this to pass. And we're just looking to You, Lord, to get everything out of each and every one of us that You desire. We're really desiring that You would be glorified, that You would be honored, and that You could receive all the glory due Your name, that You would find just a free rein to work in each one of our hearts and our lives. In Your precious name, amen.